Central Thursday. It's Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah here in the Kintech studio. Kintech, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, powered by thousands of five-star Google reviews. Sore feet? What are you waiting for? Visit kintech.net. Should you want to be a part of the program and you're listening live, you can. 650-650 on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox. The Bridge Street Dunbar Lumber in Ladner has moved to Progress Way in Tilbury's Industrial Park. More room, more product, more awesome details at DunbarLumber.com. Just as we were going to air here, NHL Player Safety has released a video explaining why the hit delivered by Zach Whitecloud to Matthew Knies was not a penalty of any kind versus the suspensions that were delivered to Ryan Reeves and Tanner Jeannot for his hit on Brock Besser.
Never underestimate the power of millions of tears. Leafs tears.
Leafs fans were irate yesterday at the hit delivered by Whitecloud onto Matthew Knies. And they went to review on it, didn't give him five, actually took away the minor penalty that they did give to Zach Whitecloud because they watched it and they're like, well, it's a clean hit. It's a big hit.
It's a clean hit.
But it's a clean hit.
Yeah. I saw a lot of double standard. I can't believe that this wasn't penalized.
When has NHL player safety ever done something like this?
I think it's happened on occasion, but usually it happens when
the Leafs are involved.
Yeah. Well, when there's a controversy and the controversy was one-sided, it was, you know, all Leafs fans being, you know, irate about it. And I get, listen, fans get upset and Canadian fan bases are going to be louder and something happens to the Canucks, they're going to make a lot of noise.
Oh yeah.
And Leafs have the biggest fan base, so the noise just got so loud the NHL felt like it had to respond and tell the children to calm down.
You know what, I should usually I chirp NHL player safety for the lack of consistency and maybe sometimes a lack of transparency on why certain things are a suspension and why they're not, and here I am chirping them again for being transparent and basically telling everybody, hey guys, this was a clean hit. So
yeah, I actually like it though. I like when they explain their reasoning, even if it's something that was not a suspension. So I'm not against them doing this. I think they should do it more often on controversial plays that they don't deem suspendable.
It was a big hit, and honestly, like for a young player like Matthew Knies, a reminder like, hey man, you're gonna leave yourself out there vulnerable when you're trying to gain the red line to dump a puck in before it's icing eligible. Like, you're leaving yourself open to a big hit like that.
Well, there is. So for all the talk about these dirty hits, and we don't have to go too deep into this, there is an element of players leaving themselves vulnerable.
Yes.
And you heard Bieksa talk about that even with Besser.
Yeah.
About the hit with Jeannot. You kind of have to know who's on the ice. You can't be admiring your pass. And I think that may be a little bit harsh. Like, I don't think Besser was. But if you are expecting more open ice hits, are you looking at the puck the way he did? Are you making
probably
the play nice?
Not.
Right? So we're getting to a point where there aren't many of these hits anymore, and players are not expecting them anymore. So they play like they don't expect them.
Yeah.
You have to be careful because guys can still stand you up like Whitecloud did, right? And there is an element of players have to protect themselves. And I do think it's a very hard line for the league to kind of navigate because I want the physical game to remain.
Yes.
Too. I think a lot of people do. I am also aware of head injuries. So it's a fine line to kind of walk, but you know, it is what it is. I'm a football fan too. That's not great for your head, but it is what it is, right? So, but there is an element of you have to protect people at the same time. So I don't think it's an easy line to navigate.
Yeah, it's for me, like the Ryan Reeves hit and Tanner Jeannot hits, big, dirty, hitting a vulnerable player, blindsiding a vulnerable player. That wasn't necessarily the case with Matthew Knies in the Whitecloud hit. All right, enough of that. Let's get to it. It's the open on Canuck Central.
Welcome to the open.
Four! That's your home! Are you too good for your home? Answer me!
It's the open on Canucks Central, where we bring you the latest on the Vancouver Canucks and our take on it. And the Canucks traveling today. They are headed out east. They have not traveled outside of the Pacific time zone since they came back from Chicago in late October. And now they are headed out to Ottawa to kick off a six-game roadie through a lot of eastern cities and finish it up with one game in Minnesota. That's coming up in a couple of weeks' time, December 3rd, when they return from the road trip and get home to play the Columbus Blue Jackets. But what is interesting about the Canucks traveling is we get a hint at who might be getting closer to a return in the lineup, and that is Brock Besser. He is traveling with the team to start this road trip. You know, Rick Tocchet mentioned yesterday it wasn't fully yet determined whether or not Brock would be traveling with the team to start the road trip, so that's a good sign. I'm not sure yet if Brock will get in for Saturday's game at the earliest. He hasn't had a full practice with his teammates just yet, but it's a really good sign that Brock is on the plane and getting in for this road trip for a already shorthanded Canucks team.
Yeah, if he's not making this trip if he's not playing on the trip. Now, again, when it comes to returning from head injuries, sometimes unexpected things can happen. So you're never in the clear until you get back and you play your first game. And we've seen in other situations where somebody comes back, plays a game, and you know they have to take some time off. So you always have to be extra, be very cautious, right? But he wouldn't be on this trip if he wasn't going to play. The question is when. I don't know about Saturday because he hasn't had a full practice with the team yet. There would be time for one tomorrow when they skate in Ottawa. But is that going to be enough for him to play coming off a head injury? I would imagine they want one or two more practices. They might practice both days or maybe they take one day off. But they have Sunday and Monday between games on Tuesday coming up. There will be at least one practice. So there's a chance for him to get a couple before the Boston game, which I think would be the earliest we see him.
So Brock has now missed six games.
Yeah.
Right? He missed the entirety of the six-game homestand. He is still tied for the team lead in goals.
Pretty important player.
A very important piece to this Canucks team, as you don't have JT in the lineup right now. Lekkomäki's gone back to the AHL. We'll get to that in a minute in the Canucks Central Roundup. But Brock is a huge piece. And the sooner they get him back in the lineup, the better chance they have at managing this period without JT Miller. We know Demko's coming back soon. All of these are good signs. And, you know, I know, like, I like what I've seen from Pettersson, DeBrusque, and Sherwood, but for me, like, Brock comes back into the lineup and he goes straight next to Elias Pettersson and Jake DeBrusque.
Just because Lekkomäki got sent down a reach, you don't have to go after my guy here, okay?
What are you talking about?
I don't know why I have to go after Sherwood.
I mean, it's obvious. Like, I know Sherwood's been good, but like Besser's going on your top line. You put your three best forwards together.
What? Like, I'm like the 50 Cent thing. It's like, well, Sherwood's like, what did I do? Like, I didn't do anything.
No, Sherwood didn't do anything wrong.
He's playing fine.
But he's a placeholder for Brock Besser right now.
He scored a goal last game.
I know.
Besser doesn't even play with Pettersson.
He's been arguably the Canucks' best forward, most consistent forward. Well, I'm not denying any of these
things. Anyone take him off the Pettersson line?
Well, yeah.
But yeah, Pettersson doesn't even play with Besser anymore.
No,
do they even know each other anymore?
Sherwood goes back to the untouchables line, which has since been touched with
Heinen. Has been. With so much of that nickname.
Bluger, Heinen, and Sherwood. You keep Suter, Garland, and Joshua together. And then your top line is DeBrusque, Pettersson, and Besser. To me, that's the route that you go with the lineup should Besser be back in the lineup in the near term.
I mean, you're logically not wrong, but at the same time, like, Besser and Pettersson haven't really clicked.
Right.
They haven't played together in a while, and you kind of need to have an extra push.
So what? You're playing Besser with Bluger? Like, no offense to Bluger, but...
And I do Besser, Garland, and Suter. And then, because I honestly think Joshua, he needs work, and I'm not sure he can play the minutes right now that Garland's playing. And I'd rather just have Garland play his off wing, but he can still drive, play with Besser and with Suter and have those guys, and then have Heinen down with Joshua. At least I'd try that, and I kind of ride the Sherwood wave for the time being. Like, he's hot, it's working. If they start, you know, struggling for a game or two, sure, bring Besser up there. But I'm not sure I want to break that up yet.
You're not... I just want to put the best players together. Like, that's literally
Kiefer Sherwood's what did I do? Like, he's been like you say, he's been the Canucks' like most consistent.
Well, you're not going to take Jake DeBrusk off. I know really? Sherwood could really? Play left
Jake,
wing.
Jake DeBrusk's going to put
Sherwood. You're going to put Sherwood with Pettersson and Besser.
DeBrusk was playing on the third line for a spell when guys were healthy.
I understand that. It's not like DeBrusk has been terrible either.
No.
I mean, he's still on pace for more than 40 points this year.
Sure. No, I know it's right? fair. Yeah, yeah.
Like, I know he's only got the 3 goals, and people want to see him score yes. up to the 30-goal guarantee that I had in the summer, but apparently I'm just the jinx of all jinxes when it comes to any of these conversations.
The biggest thing here, though, is we would lose the central line nickname.
Yeah, yeah.
I know. DeBrusk and Sherwood aren't playing on the same line.
I know.
Austin Langley, he stapled that as the central line.
Yeah, I mean, because I know
DeBrusk, my guarantee, sat with Sherwood guarantee.
And then obviously we both support Pettersson.
We've been supporting Pettersson.
We've been known as the Pettersson apologists on this show. But I mean, I'm obviously joking a little bit, but at the same time, I am slightly offended. I think Sherwood's played well enough that I don't want to move him off that line, and I don't think DeBrusk has done well enough. Like right now, the guy who's
okay,
been
but that
dynamic,
line, like if you're keeping Sherwood on that line, then you keep the line together. And I don't know where you put Brock, but you keep that line together
yeah,
because
that's fine.
What are they? They've been like 80% expected goals in the few games that they've played.
Yeah, but Sherwood is a right hand shot, right?
Yeah,
and he's played right wing, but he's actually been a left winger for much of his NHL career.
Okay,
you could easily move Slide to the left, and you can have Besser there with him too. Because I don't think DeBrusk has made enough of an impact for me to feel like he has to stay on that line. You could talk me into switching things up. I just don't want to take Sherwood off it yet. Like right now, the way Sherwood is going, the energy he's bringing, just ride it. And at some point, he's probably going to prove that as good as he's been, he's probably better suited playing down your lineup. But, you know, when a guy's going the way he's going, you kind of have to just ride it out.
So what do you want to see more from Jake DeBrusk then? Because he's sort of the elephant in the room here. Like your big 7-year deal signing is only on 3 goals through the first 18 games of the season. Not, you know, great number by any stretch of the imagination for a guy that you brought in here to help score goals. Shoot the puck more right now, okay, on this team. The only players with more shots per 60 in the lineup that play forward, Garland, Pugh Suter, Brock Besser, and Kiefer Sherwood.
Yeah.
Those are the only guys shooting more than Jake DeBrusk.
He should be shooting the puck more than Pugh Suter and Kiefer Sherwood.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Sherwood leads the team in shots per 60 by a healthy margin.
No, I know.
He's almost like 10 shots per game.
I know, it's great.
Per 60.
They should be closer to him. Honestly, they should be. Like, these guys, like, I think DeBrusk hasn't shot the puck. He's shot more recently.
Yeah.
But he's not being as aggressive as he needs to be. Like, the thing I love about Sherwood is he's taking the opportunity, man.
Well, how's he scored a lot of his goals? It's just like, I'm not going to think. I'm just throwing the puck at the net.
Yeah, and sometimes like he's had a couple, you know, there are a couple shots I haven't loved, but he's looking at an opportunity and he's taking it. Like, I want to see Jake DeBrusk, like, take the game on. Like, you can be such an impactful player when you're on top of your game. There's a reason why the Canucks signed him to a 7-year deal. There's a mindset thing about going out there and dominating. Sherwood, again, like, it's a clear talent discrepancy between him and DeBrusk. I don't think there's any question about that. But every single shift, Sherwood's trying to do something. And he's trying to make the most of his opportunity. DeBrusk needs to go out there and play hungry. You know, like, I want to see him hunt pucks down with a bit more force. He's capable of doing it. When he gets hot, he plays that way. And if you want to be a player that can play up the lineup and be a full-time fixture alongside of Pettersson, I need you to have that mentality.
I see flashes from DeBrusk, but I haven't seen it consistently enough.
Yeah.
You know, even more so than the Cali trip where he scored all 3 of his goals. It's come in and out. You know, he had one of the games on the homestand. I think he had 8 or 9 shot attempts. The Nashville game, he had a couple of good looks. But we haven't seen him get enough. Like, you know, the goals he scored on the trip, the first goal he scored, great shot.
Yeah.
Didn't see that enough on home ice.
Yeah, and he can score in different ways.
Like, yeah.
The talent's there. He has a lot of different ways he can help the team out. I know confidence isn't always easy for players, and he's maybe going through that to some extent. It's just, how do you get him to become a more hungry, consistent contributor? Because I think it comes down to those basic things with him.
A couple of texts coming in, 650 from our live listeners. This is absolutely, Sat's absolutely correct on this one. You leave Sherwood with Pettersson. Sherwood makes Pettersson play quicker. That's the way it looks. That's Viking Canuck in Abby Owen saying, I agree with Sat 100%. Keep Sherwood with Petey so he can go retrieve pucks. I think he needs a guy like Sherwood to be successful. That is Owen in Burnaby, and another text coming in. Besser should play in a smaller role his first games back. So a couple of different thoughts on the Dunbar Lumber text message inbox there. But a lot of people loving what Kiefer Sherwood has done in his expanded role.
He's a fan favorite.
Yeah.
And it's clear, guys who play with energy, guys who have over 100 hits, you know, under 20
games. What, he had 10 hits the other night?
He's like 120 hits, yeah. And he's not even at 20 games of the season yet. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Like, he's on pace to smash the record, right? So you love that. He's also finishing. And he's a smart player. Like, he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And when he's on top of his game, he looks like a player who's going to make an impact every single time he's out there. And I think what Owen says is absolutely correct about Pettersson, or I think any top line needs to have somebody who's a digger that digs pucks out, gets them to your star players, and helps you play with pace. And that's what he does. And is he going to be able to do consistently long term? That remains to be seen. But for the time being, he's helping Pettersson more than any player I've seen help Pettersson as far as creating space and getting him the puck.
That's hard to deny right now that Kiefer Sherwood has helped Pettersson get through the slump that started the season. All right, let's get to the Canuck Central Roundup. Couple of news bites from the team today. Max Sasson getting the call-up from the Abbotsford Canucks, likely to make his NHL debut on the road trip. We'll find out more as we get closer to Saturday's game, if it will be on Saturday. But a college free agent signing a couple of years ago has done nothing but impress and continue to impress. And I saw you on Twitter and Blue Sky with some intel on how the organization feels about Max Sasson and why he's earned this opportunity.
Yeah, every time you talk to people with the team, and especially people out in Abbotsford, about the roster and who's been impressive, Max Sasson's name always comes up. His work rate is exemplary. He plays with a lot of pace. He's known as a mature hockey player. Ceiling-wise, we'll see. Right? Yeah. But he's a player who has really earned this opportunity and perhaps could have gotten it earlier. I know there's been times when the team had to make a recall option and they chose somebody above him and they felt like, man, like, this guy really deserves to go, but this other guy has been playing well too. And that's, to them, they view it as, we have so much competition that there are hard decisions to make pretty consistently as far as guys coming up. But there's no lip service, I think, with Sasson. I think they're very impressed with how hard he works. It's ultimately, can he play at the NHL level?
Yeah.
He's more than good enough to play in the AHL and play up the lineup in the AHL. He has a pace to be an NHL player. It's more about how do you handle the NHL game. And I'm really excited to see what he's going to look like and what he does with this opportunity.
4 goals in 16 games with Abbotsford this year. 9 points on the season. Again, is slated to make his NHL debut. And surprising somewhat that he gets the call up over somebody like Linus Karlsson. Maybe you know, knowing Brock is around the corner, that's why they've, you know, left Linus Karlsson with the Abbotsford Canucks, but also Nils Åman. I mean, yeah. It tells you something that Sasson is getting that call over Åman, who's played over 150 games, almost 200 games for this team.
And it also shows you kind of where Åman is as far as the pecking order and how guys are now surpassing him. And Sasson's a guy who's been getting some experience and working on his game. Oman's been, you know, obviously at the pro level a bit longer, going back to Sweden as well. And he's really plateaued. With Sasson, we don't know yet, right, what it is, but there is enough pace in his game that he can play at the NHL level. It's, can you process the game well enough to do more than what a guy like Åman could do?
116 games for Nils Åman, so I should correct myself on that. He hasn't been around that long. As for Jonathan Lekkerimäki, he gets sent down as part of the transaction to bring Max Sasson up, and Rick Tocchet yesterday had this to say about Lekkerimäki and what he still needs to work on, where he can continue to get better.
Yeah, I think we've thrown a lot at him. I think, you know, whether he stays up or not, we can't be afraid to make sure that we develop him properly. I think his play without pucks gotten better defensively. Now he's got to be more instinctual in the offensive end. I think he's a shooter, and sometimes shooters just want to shoot and they kind of stand around, I think he can be a little bit more involved in the offense of going to certain spots, maybe getting to the net, maybe being a bumper play, maybe going behind the net. Like he could do other things, and I think sometimes he just wants to be a shooter. And I think that's probably the next level for him, but he's obviously a talented kid.
We've seen the Canucks do this with a lot of other players. They did it with Aturatu. They've done it with Oman. They've done it with Baines, even Carlson. Like, hey, we're going to give you guys a call up, and you'll go back down to the AHL, work on a few things, and if you accomplish those things, you'll probably get another opportunity not so far down the road.
Yeah, absolutely, right? And I think there's a lot to like about what Lekker Mäki can do. You saw the shot, obviously. Yeah. You see the offensive abilities, and you see how smart he is. He's able to be on the first unit power play, now look out of place, and gets a few looks. There's a lot to like about him. But you can see how he's still in need of getting stronger, getting a bit more explosive with his burst. I think his skating is fine, but can get some separation, can get a little bit quicker, right? That's hard to do in season. Honestly, I don't know if we can expect much from Lekker Mäki at the NHL level this year. I think the things he has to work on his game need time in an off season, and he could be more interesting next season. But I do think there are things he can improve on and get better at, that if he gets another chance, he'll look a bit more, I'd say, comfortable at the NHL level. I think we all have to be very careful, though, if we're thinking big picture, is this a guy you're going to count on in the postseason to play a big role for you? I think we just got to pump the brakes on those things.
A couple of notes from Elliot Friedman in his latest 32 thoughts on Sportsnet.ca. This on JT Miller. Wishing JT Miller the best. Don't expect to see him until the Canucks return from a 6-game road trip ending December 3rd at the earliest. It appears as if this is as much about burnout as anything else for one of the NHL's most fiery players. So not much of an update there on JT Miller and what exactly is going on with JT. It's mostly what we've talked about and hope JT is able to return as soon as possible, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen before the 6-game road trip comes to an end. And another thought that he had, weird idea that may only make sense to me, Nikita Zadorov back to Vancouver, no idea if even possible or if anyone would want it, but he was a good fit with Canucks, and the Canucks miss him.
How do you make it work is my question. Because, like, okay.
Salary's going back the other way.
We don't need to get into, is this an informed take, just a question, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's just get to, like, how would this work? There is no way that Boston is retaining any salary on Nikita Zadorov.
No, they just signed him to a massive deal. They don't want to do that.
Could they at some point do it a year down the road, 2 years down the road?
If it really goes haywire, sure.
Potentially. But there's no way that, you know, less than 3 months into the season after signing him to a 6-year deal that you're retaining salary on trading him. There's no way they're doing that. If you give them enough, perhaps, but there's no way the Canucks are paying a premium to acquire a player they just had and gave assets up for last year to reacquire on a 6-year deal, even if it's $4 million per season. There's just no way the Canucks are paying a premium for that. So the only way you can make this happen is if you're doing a bit of a cheap swap. And even that is complicated.
Money in, money out.
Because, yeah, the Canucks are in a money in, money out situation on the cap. So how do you swap him right now? Maybe at the deadline, if the Canucks accrue cap space, they can acquire the $5 million and take it on.
Okay.
Today, the only way the Canucks can do that is if they're combining five or at least $4 million out the door. You can massage it if you get up to $4 million and make it work with recalls and demotions and a trimmer roster with guys being injured. You can do that and figure it out for a little bit. But that means you're at least trading Desharnais, and I don't know if they would want that in return, but let's say they do. And who's the other $2 to $3 million player you're trading?
Probably a Danton Heinen type.
I guess.
Just a Bruin.
I guess.
You know, like that's kind of the guys you're talking about here.
Or like Soucy, but then are
Soucy's,
you want to get
3.25, but you still need to make up 1.8.
You can make that work if you do Soucy and Desharnais, but then now you're just trading one defenseman for another. You're back in the same position where you need to add another defenseman.
Yeah.
So I just don't know how this
is. And you're staring down the barrel of Zadorov and Myers playing a lot of minutes together.
Yeah. And again, you're back to like, what's your third pair looking like? Because they need somebody else to take some pressure off, right? I just don't know how this works unless you wait until the deadline.
To me, it's, and this is more like, I don't want to make it sound like I don't like Zadorov as a player, but I've moved on, you know? I wasn't necessarily all that interested in having Zadorov back on a 5-year certainly not a six-year term, and that's what you would be acquiring now. I mean, that's my stance really hasn't changed on that. Zadorov was great for the time that he was here for the Vancouver Canucks, but wasn't a guy that I wanted to keep around on a 5 or 6 year term.
I mean, again, like we can get into the whole, do you want Zadorov or not? Feasibility-wise, that's what the reality is. But would I put it past this management team from reacquiring him? No, I wouldn't, because I don't think this management team
closes doors.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I don't think they close doors in that way. If it makes sense, they'll consider it. I just don't think they're going to be or going to have any interest in giving up anything significant to acquire Zadorov. So are you in a spot where you can just kind of flip him for nothing?
Yeah.
You may have to wait for that. Again, there's no cap space right now, right? So that's where you're kind of at.
Dan Riccio, Satyar Shah. It is Canucks Central. We'll get Landon Ferraro's take on all this and more coming up next on Sportsnet 650.
The most opinionated Canucks show out there. Canucks Talk with Jamie Dodd and Thomas Drance. Be sure to subscribe on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.